The topic today is on the ABCs of astrology, continuation of yesterday's show. And I hope you were able to hear yesterday's show when we talked about of the list of 28 or 29 things I was recommending for people to get into, astrologically speaking. I went over, memorize the signs of the zodiac in order, get the feel of the 360-degree circle of zodiacal constellations surrounding the Earth. That was number one. Number two was get your chart done. Number three was locate your ascendant, memorize it, number your 12 houses of life by now knowing your ascendant. Number four was locate your sun and your moon, completing your three majors, which is sun, moon, and rising sign. Memorize them by sign, house, and degree. And number five was locate and list your ascendant, sun, moon, and all your planets from Mercury to Pluto. And if time, memorize by sign, house, and degree. Number six was copy down your aspect list from the astroscope and spend time with each paragraph explaining them to understand the positive and negative side. Aren't you glad I'm doing a review? Of each planetary aspect, which can reveal significant karmic implications. Number seven was color code your aspects. Conjunctions are a circle with a slash at 1 o'clock on a circle. Sextiles are green, trines are blue, squares are red, oppositions are orange, inconjunctions are yellow, semisextals are turquoise, in case you wondered. Number eight, study the How Horoscopes Work study guide or pick up suggested reading and take our classes. Number nine was the five major areas of study in astrology, and I told you planets and signs, planets and houses, planets by aspect, planets in transit, planets in synastry, and we discussed that. Okay, so now we're into part two of the ABCs of astrology. Okay, number 10 in our list of ABCs, keywords is what it's about. Study and memorize the keywords revealing sacred meanings in astrology. Now I'm going to list the areas where the keywords are important. Like each of the 12 signs have keywords. Like Aries, the keywords would be self, childhood, personality, character, emotions in some way. The keywords for Taurus would be love, values, power, sometimes property, prosperity, and also authentic love, things like that. The keywords for Gemini would be the mind, communication, and so on. And you can find a lot of the keywords in the classes, in the books, and of course in the How Horoscopes Work study guide we include with each chart. That's number one. Study and memorize keywords for 12 signs. Also, the 12 houses have keywords, house 1 through 12. But it's easy memorizing the keywords for the 12 houses and the 12 signs because the 12 houses of life and the 12 signs of the zodiac are synonymous. Everything that means house 1 also is a significance of what Aries means. And everything that house 2 is also what means what Taurus means. See? So if you learn the keywords for the 12 signs and you know which house number aligns to each sign, then you got it. You got that down. So that's easy. Keywords for 12 houses and 12 signs. You know, house 12 is Pisces, house 11 is Aquarius, and so forth. You'd have to know the signs in order. Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, Leo, Virgo, Libra, Scorpio, Sag, Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces to know which vibration is assigned to houses 1 through 12, which is what I just gave you. Now also, keywords for the planets. Eight planets besides the Earth, and also the Sun and the Moon, which are called luminaries, L-U-M-I-N-A-R-I-E-S. Some people also call the sun and the moon planets in astrology. But, you know, basically the sun is the father and the soul. The moon is the mother and the emotions. And Mercury is the mind factor. Venus is the love factor. Mars is the life force factor. Jupiter, the philosophy. Saturn, the lesson or the major area of study. Uranus is the awakener. Neptune is the illuminator. Pluto is the transformer. And the rising sign, of course, included in that would be the personality factor, or the I am point, the separation point. And then keywords for major aspects, like sextiles being potential and possibilities, and trines being ease and flow, and squares being karma with the self and stress with self, and oppositions being karma using others as catalysts, and challenges and risks, inconjuncts being an alien factor, or a factor that is imbalanced, a uniqueness. Keywords is really a key to learning astrology there. And the north node of the moon and the south node of the moon, the north node meaning the mission in life, the purpose in life, what is meant to be accomplished before the life mission is over, and also the south node being our biggest weakness, our biggest fallback, what holds us down from accomplishing our mission. That's number 10. And in case you just tuned in, this is KFOX Redondo Beach 93.5 FM. And be advised that this show is dedicated to the science of astrology, not just sun signs. So this show is dedicated to those that are interested in advanced concepts and philosophies concerning astrology and metaphysics. So God bless you if you are listening and interested in this stuff. If you listen every day, you will learn. So let's continue. Number 11, learn how to read an ephemeris. You see, astrology is a science of numbers and symbols. Along the lines of when you're studying all your keywords and everything, you're going to run across the symbols for each of the 12 signs of the zodiac, Aries through Pisces, and the symbols for all the planets. All I can tell you here is when you find those symbols, write them down and learn them, copy them, and learn to identify them. Because the only way to read an ephemeris is very easy to read. What it is it's a book filled with dates. Like, let's say we turn to July 1948 in an ephemeris, a 10-year record of where all the planets were. An ephemeris is a record of where the planets either were in the past or where they're going in the future. Ephemeris, E-P-H-E-M-E-R-I-S. When I give you the planetary locations every day, what I am giving you is an ephemeris of where the planets are for that day. If you could read an ephemeris, then that means you could take someone's date, March 3rd, March 6th, 1954 or whatever, and look that up and be able to write down where their planets are on that date. See, when we do astrology, we need the date, time, and city of birth, because using trigonometry and calculus and physics, most of us use computers now, but some of us do it by hand, we calculate the exact degree of rising sign and moon with the date, time, and city of birth. But you can find the listing of where the planets are in any given day by just looking up an ephemeris. So when people call me on the air, by knowing they're born May 26, 1968 or February 7, 1953, I look up in my ephemeris and most of them give me their rising signs. I have that in my head and I can look in my ephemeris to see where the planets were on that day. So I can see their chart right here when they call me, in case you're wondering how I do that. And basically, the sun is a circle with a dot in the middle, and Venus is the sign of the woman. You've seen the symbol before, a little circle with a cross beneath it. And Mars is the sign of the man. So it's pretty simple, you know, a little circle with an arrow at 1 o'clock. And Jupiter looks like a weird four, and Saturn looks like a cross with a whip on the bottom. And you know, you can learn the symbols of the planets and the signs, and by doing that, and knowing that there's 30 degrees, there's 30 sectors in every sign, you can actually find locations of planets in their signs. Like you could look, you know, mm-hmm. When you're looking at an ephemeris, you'll notice the sun will remain in one sign for about 30 days. So at around February 20th, the sun might go 0 Pisces, and on the 19th, 0 Pisces, on the 20th, 1 Pisces, on the 22nd, 2 Pisces, and in an ephemeris, it would show that. It would show the sun moving. First, it would show the symbol of Pisces, which looks like two little fishies facing each other. And then it would list the 30 degrees. And then when it ended at 29, it would have the symbol of Aries. The sun moves into Aries. And it's the same with all the planets. Of course, the moon jumps signs every 2.5 days. So when you look in an ephemeris at lunar locations, you'll find the moon has the most active motion. So learn to read an ephemeris. And if you don't know how to read one, the best thing I could suggest is go to the Bodhi Tree bookstore, hang around the astrology section, and ask someone that's standing there, do you know how to read an ephemeris? Could you show me? And I'm sure they'll have, that's how I learned. Okay. Number 12. Learn how to follow and read transits. Okay. And I'm going to give you some suggested reading. Sakoyan and Acker have an excellent book that's very intense. It's called Transits Simplified. And also Robert Pelletier has an outstanding book called Planets in Transit. Those two books are books that I use to learn about transits. Now, people that don't know about astrology will say, what are transits? Well, once again, I'll tell you. Transits are possible combinations that exist when planets in the sky, the moving universe, become in geometrical aspect to the planets in your chart. Okay, now you heard me talk about aspects, trines, squares, sextals, conjunctions, oppositions, all that stuff. Constantly you are going through these aspects. And this is how astrology works. The reason why certain events come down in our lives and certain karma comes up and down and certain potentials and prosperities or opportunities or whatever is because for some reason or other, when a planet triggers a certain area of space, it sets off a vibration or a ray in our lives where either our charisma is up and people like us more and want to hire us or enroll us or cast us or whatever. And sometimes those vibrations go down when people get mad at us and the charisma is down and they want to hurt us or destroy us or manipulate us or use us or take advantage of us. And in astrology, we can follow these vibratory moves by what is called the transits, which means movement. And in the transit forecast, what we do is we chart your vibrationary moves and let you know in detail what they mean. And you can learn how to follow your transits. You know, as part of learning astrology, when you finally get the feel, like someone comes up to me today and says, Farley, did you know the moon's opposed your Venus? It's in Capricorn again. Well, I've gone through thousands of moon-opposed Venuses. What does that mean? I usually spend money on that day. I usually get upset on that day. Oftentimes, emotionally, I'm very sensitive because my Venus in Cancer is vulnerable. And I often feel restricted or enslaved because my Venus is in the ninth house of freedom and the moon in the third house of Capricorn usually means that I have too much busy work, too much details to do, and there's problems getting it all done. And that's true. For me, it's the end of the month. Bills are due. Rents are due. KFOX bill money is due to them. And, postage, handling, all this stuff. And all these little taxes and insurance things are coming through right now. So when you have a transit, you can understand your life a lot better. It's what I call being able to see your life more clearly. That's why I love astrology, because it explains why I'm going through what I'm going through. So number 12, learn how to follow and read transits. Number 13, karma and synastry. Well, when we talk about astrology, you have to remember that each individual has a very unique vibration attached to them, astrologically speaking. When we talk about compatibility, sometimes we can be initially attracted to another individual through this vibration because of certain elements that exist in both charts. But oftentimes that doesn't mean the attraction or the vibrational attraction is sound. I want to make this clear. In astrological compatibility, oftentimes we get attracted to certain people for certain melds that exist between both charts. But at the same time, in the end result, as we get to know someone and as we get to build a relationship with someone, and as that vibration becomes more total, then oftentimes the vibration is not as compatible. It oftentimes can become alien. And that's why relationships make it and break it. And we can learn about this part of the science of astrology through what is called synastry. Whether we have karma, whether we have a debt with someone that we're supposed to work out, and it comes from comparing aspects. Okay, here's this word again. What kind of trines do you have? What kind of squares do you have? What kind of oppositions do you have? And sextiles do you have with your chart to the chart of this person you just met? Okay, number 14, the ABCs of astrology, solar returns. What is a solar return? Whenever you have a birthday, number one, when you're born, the natal vibration that you get at birth is a vibration that stays with you your whole life. But every year around your birthday, not always on the day of your birthday, a very incredible phenomenon occurs. The sun returns to the area of space where it was the moment you were born. And when that happens, the universe opens itself up and we receive a major injection of supplemental energy that is called the solar return effect. So the natal effect is a standard foundation, but we are altered slightly through our vibration every year around our birthday through what is called the solar return effect. And if we would freeze the planets at that moment, the sun returns to the birthday point. If we would freeze those planets in space, then what we end up with basically is a birthday effect that lasts for 1 year. A karma and a vibration that will last for 1 year that will supplement the natal effect. I hope that's clear. Number 15, Saturn returns. Everybody has it. It happens every 27 and a half years in your life. When you're approaching 30, when you're approaching 60, and when you're approaching 90 years old, you will have approximately a Saturn return every 27 to 30 years. And this is a period in life when we are faced up to our biggest lessons and the reason why we were born, what our major area of growth and study is all about. Also, number 16, Mars returns happen every 2 years, setting up relationship and health influences. Okay, every 2 years. Jupiter returns happen every 12 years, setting up what we call prosperity opportunities, growth opportunities, travel opportunities, and philosophical transitions. Venus returns and Mercury returns happen about once a year. And like I say, when you have a return, what it means is a planet comes back to an area of space in your chart where it was exactly where it was where you were born. Like I've got Mars in Libra, so every 2 years Mars will be in Libra at 15 degrees, and I have my Mars return then, and my health factor is set up, just happened a couple months ago, in fact, and also my basic attitude on life, my relationships, how I view them is set up, and everything that epitomizes Mars is affected. Number 17, retrograde planets. During the course of the movement of certain planets in the sky, from the Earth's point of view, sometimes the Earth's orbit becomes faster than other planets, and they appear to be backing up in space. When that phenomena occurs, those planets are said to be retrograde, and their astrological energy is inhibited. It is about halved. So people with retrograde planets in their natal chart need to work a little harder and conquer that mountain a little bit more with a challenge than most of us, especially people with Mercury retrograde, which rules communication and being inhibited along those lines. During retrograde planetary periods, when Mercury goes retrograde, we find everyone being more inhibited and having more communication problems. Number 18, the void course moon. Happens every 2 or 3 days right before the moon goes into another sign. It is when the moon is beyond its final aspect to any other planet in the sky, and it takes the emotional punch out of any new issues that are created during void course moons. President Nixon was nominated during a void course moon as an example of that result. Number 19, moon wobble, occurs 4 times a year. Boy, a lot of information on this show today, huh? Can you believe that? Moon wobble occurs 4 times a year. It occurs when the north node of the moon is either in conjunction to, square to, or opposition to the sun. It lasts for 30 days each time it happens. It has a 3-week approach effect and a 1-week passing and of course, a peak when it is exactly in aspect, square or opposed or conjunct the sun. Number 20, the midlife transition occurs for everyone when they turn 38 and last through 44. It is much more intense and difficult than a Saturn return or anything astrological in life. It is when Uranus finally becomes opposition to itself in its chart, Neptune becomes square to itself in its chart, Pluto becomes square to itself in its chart, and Saturn goes opposition itself in its chart. So obviously a lot of karma and a lot of transition and rebirth and evolution and maturation goes on between those ages of 38 to 44. Number 21, the second and third Saturn return, which I talked about when you turn 60 and 90. If you haven't paid your bills and your karmic dues yet when you're 60 and 90, then it compounds, and the second and third Saturn return can be more difficult than the first if you don't take care of your homework. Number 23, overcoming your karma and the weaknesses and obsessions of life revealed in the natal chart. Frankly, the same lesson is for all of us. You got to figure out where your obsessions and your selfish desires lie. And frankly, when you are not affected by anything in this realm that can hold you down, then not only have you overcome the realm and the chart, but you've also overcome your karma. So if you are truly a spiritual being, congratulations at that point. Number 24, progressions. You see, when you are born natally, you are literally linked in the universe to those areas of space through which those planets lie when you were born. It's like you're attached with 11 cosmic cords that go from your body to beyond this realm. As each year passes, the location in space of these cords progresses 1 degree. So the energy that you are struck with at birth natally changes. The energy you are constantly bombarded with as life goes on from year to year is altered 1 degree per sign each planet. These are called progressions. It's a very advanced part of astrology, but in the ABCs I decided to include that. And people that are into their progressions are interested with what areas of space these initial energies, how they are currently being bombarded with these same energies they were at birth, called progressions. And these sometimes explain some of the more complicated, complex innuendos of life. There are other things in astrology like midpoints, when we try to find the halfway point between two planetary locations to get what we call an entity result, or entity effects, which means new beginnings, when you create new ideas, new projects, new businesses, and casting a natal chart for that moment. There are lunar returns, an emotional occurrence that happens once a month when the moon comes back to your birth point and how you set up your emotional patterns for a 28 to 30 day cycle. And there's also creativity and timing, you know, starting projects when there's no Mercury retrograde, when there's no moon wobble, when there's no void course moon, hopefully when there's a few trines to Venus or Mars or Jupiter. There's all kinds of things we could talk about in astrology, but today's show and yesterday's show was just something to give you a taste of what astrology is all about. The ABCs of astrology by Farley Malaris. And I hope you enjoyed that.